2-3 weeks ago, as we were kind of starting this conversation about communication, I shared with you an example of bad communication. And if you remember the example that I shared about the Cheesecake Factory, and I ended up with $50, $60, $70 worth of cheesecake that my lovely wife had purchased for me at my request. So it was bad communication that had taken place. This week I want to share with you just a couple examples that happened to me of very effective communication over the course of the last week. One of them was early in the week. It was, I don't know, maybe Tuesday or so. And I was driving down 422 towards Lebanon. And as I was driving, I was coming up to the Lebanon Valley Mall. And out of the Lebanon Valley Mall came a semi-truck. And he was turning out in the same direction that I was going. And he was going into that center lane, the turning lane. So I stayed in my lane, and he kind of came in right beside me. And I ended up in front of him. And then he eventually made his way over behind me. So I went up the road a little bit further, and I was turning left, and apparently he didn't like that I didn't slow down and let him get right into the left lane as soon as he was coming over. So as I came up to the corner where I was turning left, he was going straight, and he was yelling out his window at me very clearly that he was upset with my choice not to move over for him or to slow down for him. And so the communication was very clear that he didn't like what I had chosen to do. And just to firm it up, he leaned out his window and made a fist at me, but one of his fingers must not work quite right because it didn't go down in the fist. A very clear form of communication. Not necessarily the great message that we hope to hear, but a clear form of communication. Later in the week, Rachel and I were at Walmart, and as we were heading out of Walmart, there's kind of the corral for all the carts, where all the carts are kept. And we were coming out of the entrance, and as we were walking out, we took our bags out of the cart because it was raining outside, as it does all the time. And we didn't want to leave the cart outside, so we just took our bags out, and I took the cart, and people were coming in at the time, so I just took the cart and I spun it around. In my mind, I spun it around so that it would be ready for whoever's coming in. So as we're walking out, there's a family walking in, and the gentleman in the family mutters under his breath or says to his wife, I'm not sure what it was exactly between those two things, but says, was it really that far to put the cart away where it belongs? I thought to myself, seriously? And again, I knew exactly what he was talking about. I knew he was talking to me and that he didn't like the fact that I left the cart out, even though my intentions in this case were actually good. I was trying to leave it out for the next person. So there are times in life where communication is very obvious to us, where there's no question what the person wants us to hear or understand or to think about. It's not always that clear for us. As believers, when we feel like God is speaking to us or communicating to us, as to whether it is truly God speaking to us or something else speaking into our lives. So we've looked at the art of listening. We've looked at several different ways that I think that God communicates with us today, and it was not a complete list. It was just a couple different ways we looked at the fact that God communicates often with us through His Word. We talked about the fact that oftentimes God will communicate with us through other people and also through our thoughts oftentimes. Those are the three that we looked at. This morning I want us to look at how can we identify if what we sense God is saying to us is actually from God. Or is it some other environmental thing or person or Satan speaking into our lives? So that's my hope this morning, is that as we study God's Word, we're able to better understand or have better confidence when God is speaking to us that it is God that is speaking to us. And we're going to do that really through 6 questions that we're going to look at that I'm going to suggest that they become questions that we use in our lives when we sense that God is talking to us. I want to read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Those words, "test the spirit," that's our responsibility. To test the spirit. So if we believe that God, through His Holy Spirit, is speaking to us, we are to test the spirit. That's my responsibility to do that. And I think one of the ways that we can do that is through asking questions. And the first question I'm going to, the first three questions are ones that I mentioned just real briefly last week, if you remember. And I said we would get into them a little bit more. So the first one is this: does it agree with Scripture? I think that's the first question we need to ask. If we're hearing God's voice, I'm not talking about necessarily His verbal, audible voice. It might be. But I'm talking about, are we sensing God calling us, directing us, guiding us? That's what we're talking about. So does it agree with Scripture? I want you to turn to Luke chapter 21. It's going to be page 746. Luke chapter 21. We're going to go to verse 33. In verse 33, it says this. It says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." If you look up this verse in the Living Bible, just a different translation, it says it a little bit differently. It says, "And though all heaven and earth will pass away, yet my words remain forever true." Right? My words remain forever true. Meaning that God's word does not change. God will not change His instructions for our lives from what is written within His Word. Last week, if you remember, I said that there was one sentence that, if you can remember it, it's probably the most important thing we were talking about the whole week. Hopefully some of you remember that sentence. That sentence was something like, "God's voice will never contradict God's Word." God's voice will never contradict God's Word. If you sense that God is speaking to you, if you sense that God is speaking into your life, however He's choosing to do that, whatever avenue He's choosing to do that in, what He says to you, the question you should ask is, does it agree with Scripture? Because God's voice will never contradict Scripture. He would never tell you to do something that's against His Word. He would never tell us to ignore or to disobey anything that we find in Scripture. God is consistent. He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, the same forevermore. God is never going to tell us to lie or to steal, or to murder, or to commit adultery. God is just not going to do it. We always get in trouble when we disobey God's Word. God's will for our lives. God's will for our lives is found right here in His Word. He tells us not to lie, not to steal, not to cheat. He tells us how we should treat others, that we should treat them like we ourselves want to be treated. He tells us to pray for those that we like, but also to pray for those that we don't like, to pray for our enemies. He tells us to be honest and to obey His Word. Anything we sense with God's voice that goes against His Word is not the voice of God. So the first question that I suggest we ask is, does it agree with Scripture? The second question is, does it make me more Christ-like? We talked about this last week as well, just briefly. In Ephesians chapter 5, let's go ahead and turn there. Ephesians chapter 5, page 829. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to go to verse 1 and 2. says this, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. If we are God's children, if we have accepted Christ into our lives, we are now God's children. If we're God's children, we are to be imitators of Him. Jesus is the standard by which we should be measuring everything that we do in our lives. In fact, God wants us to become more like Him. Now, we will never become God, but we can certainly become more godly in the way that we live our lives. In Scripture, it tells us that we need to be developing our character just as close to Christ's character as we can possibly do it. What characteristics did Jesus show? What did He have? One of the places we find that is in Galatians chapter 5, where it's the fruits of the Spirit. Right? And it talks about love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And here's the deal. These are also the characteristics that God wants to see displayed in our lives. If we hear anything that doesn't make us more Christ-like, that voice is not from God. I don't know if you remember back, it had to be 15 years ago probably now. There was kind of a fad or a craze going on in the church where it was the bracelets that people would wear. And they had four initials on them. Remember what those initials were? WWJD. And they represent, what would Jesus do? Right? That's actually a really good question for us to tuck away in our heads as we live life. What would Jesus do? When a situation presents itself to us, when we sense that God is speaking to us, that's a good thing for us to ask is what would Jesus do? Does this line up? Does this make me more Christ-like? Because I need to be more Christ-like with my life. I need to be an imitator of God. Is what I'm about to do going to make me more Christ-like? Is it what Jesus would do? So the second question that we need to ask is, does it make me more Christ-like? The third one is, do I sense God's peace with the decision that I'm about to make? Corinthians 14, verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace." If we're feeling confused about the voices or what we sense God saying to us, if we're feeling confusion about that, it's probably not from God. Because God is not the author of confusion, but He is the author of peace. God's not going to try to confuse His children. If God is genuinely speaking to you, and you think that the idea is from God, there's going to be a peace in your heart no matter how difficult the situation might actually be. I'm going to guess that some of us have experienced something like this before, where you've sensed God leading you in a direction, in a situation. And maybe it was leading you out of a situation or out of a friendship, or maybe it was leading you out of a job and going a new direction. Maybe it was a major life change for you. And everything in your humanness tells you that you should be concerned about this. You should be stressed about this. You should be anxious about this. But yet, somehow in the midst of it all, you sense a peace. You sense a peace. Does that happen to some of us? I know it's happened to me. When God provides peace in our hearts, where humanly there just shouldn't be peace there, I think that's a great sign that what we're doing is following God's call or voice in our lives. The fourth one I want us to look at, fourth question is, do other believers confirm it? Again, we kind of touched on this earlier when we were talking about how God speaks to us. One of the methods that I said that God speaks to us is through other believers, and this kind of just ties right in with that. See, when we become followers of Christ, when we give our life to Christ, there's relationship changes that automatically take place in that moment. When we become followers of Christ, Jesus becomes our Savior, so that's the first relational change that takes place. God becomes our Heavenly Father, which is the second one. And then the third relational change that takes place is other believers become our brothers and sisters in Christ. They become our family in Christ. God never intended for us to make major decisions on our own. Think back to the book of Genesis. What was the first thing that God identified as being bad? Back in the book of Genesis. The man was alone. He identified that as being bad. God expects people to live in community. God expects people to care for one another. There are over 30 passages that tell us as Christians to care for one another. They talk about love for one another and encouraging one another and teaching one another and praying for one another. That's why it's so important that when we sense that maybe God is speaking to us, that we should seek other believers' advice as well. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, it says, "Listen to the counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wise in later life." We need to check out what we sense God speaking to us with other believers. Because God has given us each other for a reason. Fifth question I want us to look at or consider this morning is it consistent with who I am? Whatever I sense God is saying to me, is it consistent with how I'm wired, how I'm made up, who Dustin is or who, and you put your name in there, is? God has absolutely, certainly designed us with unique gifts, abilities, personalities, and they're all different. Everyone in this room, it's a different combination of those things. And that's just God's uniqueness in His design of us. And that means that you have a unique purpose. And I have a unique purpose. And oftentimes they're not necessarily the same purpose. We are not just here and created by accident. There's purpose. We're here for a reason. And God's equipped us for that reason. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are God's handiwork. He created us. He made us the way that He desires for us to be. Now, if I heard a voice in my head telling me, "Dustin, starting next week, I think you need to take Ben's spot on the platform and lead worship," I would question that voice pretty significantly. Because Dustin doesn't sing well, he doesn't read any music, and he doesn't play any instruments. It's not the way that I've been made or designed as a person. I have other abilities and talents and strengths, but not those ones. So I would question that, because God made me uniquely, but He didn't make me unique in regards to leading worship on a Sunday. So when we sense that God's saying something to us, I think it's important to ask the question, is this consistent with who I am? But here's where it gets a little bit tricky, because we have this God that can change us too. And I've heard this said so many times, and I believe this to be the truth, that God is not interested in our availability, but our availability. And that's true, because God can change us and He can equip us So I think that as you ask this question, you also have to consider, maybe is God developing me and changing me and allowing me to develop these new abilities or interests or passions? And if He is, then how do I use them for the kingdom? And does it line up with what I'm hearing God speak to me? So I think we've got to ask the question, is it consistent with who I am currently? But we also got to understand that we have a God that is able to change us and equip us differently tomorrow than we're equipped today. So we've got to really dig deep into our souls on that one. The sixth question that is worth us considering is it convicting rather than condemning when we hear God's voice? The story that Hershey shared a little bit earlier in our prayer time, that young man was convicted of the sin that was in his life. And he wrestled with it. See, I believe that conviction is from God. Condemnation is from Satan. And here's the difference. Conviction points us to a way of change in life. If we're convicted, it's going to lead us to changing something. Condemnation just makes us feel bad. When God convicts us of a sin, it's usually something very specific. It was the phone call that was made, and it was the lie that was followed up by that. Right? He says, you're blowing it in this area, now fix it. So what does the guy do? He picks up the phone, he calls her, she asks for forgiveness, and it's fixed. Condemnation, it makes us feel hopeless in our lives. It's the thoughts in our minds of I'm bad, or I'm not good enough, or I'm worthless, or I stink. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, we are faithful and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, as a believer, should we feel guilty when we go off track, when we mess up? Absolutely, yes, we should feel guilty about that. When we sin, when we realize that we've blown it, we should feel guilty about that. If we don't feel guilty after sin, then there's probably something wrong going on inside of us. As a Christian, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and me. And He's there to lead us and to guide us. He does not want us to sin. And He's going to make sure that we know it when we do. We should feel guilty as a result of sin. But He makes us feel guilty not so that we can live in misery with our lives, but so that we can return to the Father. So we can be restored to how God desires for us to live. So that we can live our lives more Christ-like. When you realize that you have sinned and you've fallen short, again, confess those sins to the Father and move on. Because your sin has been paid for by the cross. Jesus said that He died when He died on the cross, He said, it is finished. It's done. It's complete. It's over. Sin is paid for. For once and for all, it's done. It's paid in full. Paid to the very last penny. God doesn't hold a grudge. He forgives. That's why 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, if we sense a voice speaking to us and it is convicting, that's probably of the Holy Spirit, potentially. But if it's condemning, it probably isn't. Listen, there is nothing more vital in any one of our lives than us hearing from God. From us hearing from God. Nothing. God He's made us so that we can have relationship with Him. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to listen to Him. God is not here to play games with us. God is not trying to confuse us. He's not playing a game of hide and seek with us. God wants to speak to you, and He wants to speak to me, and He wants us to be able to listen to Him. I think the secret of hearing God's voice is that we need to know Him better. We need to spend more time communicating with God each day. When you talk to somebody on a regular basis, when you have regular conversation with somebody, what happens? Here's what happens. If my wife or my son or my daughter calls me, and let's say it was before the time of caller ID, and I pick up the phone and I answer the phone, within about a second, I'm going to know who's on the other end of that phone. Right? I'm going to recognize the voice. The same is true with God. The more that we spend time communicating with Him, spending time with Him, the quicker it is that we'll be able to identify His voice as He speaks into our lives. If you have a relationship with God, if you listen to Him daily, you will know His voice. So that's what we need to make a decision on today. Is will we make time? Will you make time daily to spend talking to God? Will you talk to Him? Will you create an environment where you can listen to Him speak to you? Will you open up the Word and read and see how He might speak to you through it? Will you intentionally seek out relationships or opportunities to spend time with other believers to see if maybe God is speaking to you through them? Will you take the thoughts that God brings into your mind and run these questions through them and say, maybe God is speaking to me in this way? Will you make time to intentionally communicate with God? Because the more that we do that, the easier it becomes for us to identify His voice. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today I pray that each one of us would continue to build a relationship with You. I pray that relationship would be so close that when You speak to us, that we would instantly be able to recognize Your voice. Father God, help us to always turn to You in all situations, to look for Your guidance, to look for Your will, to look for Your purpose. And then to follow what we sense You saying to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.